Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Great to be with you on Christmas Eve 2024. Wow. You know, lights and Christmas sure do seem to go hand in hand, right? And perhaps one of the most obvious ways is how a lot of people put up Christmas lights, whether on their Christmas trees or somewhere around their home. And so I thought I would start tonight's message a little lighthearted by showing you a few pictures of some of the funniest Christmas light decorations that I have found. Now, I have not seen these necessarily out when I've been driving around, and I didn't see them at the Christmas light scavenger hunt because I stayed home and I went and got the food for the party. But these are ones that I found on the internet. And putting up Christmas lights can be quite a project, right? You know, some people really have to do a lot of work for it. And maybe you can sympathize with this first home, especially if, like me, you've run into that problem when you're trying to get the Christmas lights and they're all tangled up, right, in a ball. Don't you hate that? Yeah, look at this one. So I know it's kind of blurry, but that person just said, good enough. You know, and I suppose that they actually work. I don't know, because it's plugged in, but that's one. Here's this nicely decorated home here. And then there's the neighbor definitely doing what he can or she can to keep up with the Joneses, right? Here with the ditto on their home. I like that one. That's a classic. And at least their electric bill's better, right? It's going to be a lot better. Another way to make the decorating of Christmas lights a little simpler is to do what this home did. And they get sympathy from everyone in the neighborhood because this home has fallen victim to the Grinch. I guess the Grinch not only steals Christmas, but here he is specifically stealing this home's Christmas lights. Here's one for those who like to go hunting or know people who like to hunt. This is a reindeer-like decoration, a reindeer light decoration, and it's suspended and hanging up to be gutted and drained after a hunt. Don't worry, kids, this is not Rudolph. I know. Lastly, for all of the Star Wars fans out there, and this is my personal favorite, here's Yoda who took out all the other Christmas decorations and with his lightsaber, Yoda takes Christmas right there, at least for the decorations, right? Well, there are all kinds of associations made with lights and Christmas, aren't there? But what about the real light of Christmas? What's the best association and ultimate association that should be made between lights and Christmas? Is it Christmas lights on a tree? Is it the most elaborately decorated home? Or how about the bright star even that shone over Bethlehem, as cool as that was, that guided people to where Christ was to be born? What is the best association that can be made between lights and Christmas time? God actually tells us. What's he say? Let's take a look. We just have one verse tonight. It's from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12. These are the very words of Jesus who says this. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The best association of lights and Christmas is that Jesus is the light of the world. Yes, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. What does this mean? And what does this mean for you this Christmas 2024 and following? Let's consider these things, but first, would you please join me in prayer? Father, thank you for your word. Teach us your ways tonight and this Christmas, that we might walk in your truth. Thank you that you are the light. You are the light of the world. And show us, Lord, what that means and how that applies to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read the verse one more time. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Well, when Jesus says these words, it's during a time of celebration called the Feast of Booths, or also known as the Feast of Tabernacles. And this event commemorated God's faithfulness through the years during the time that the people of Israel lived in booths, or leafy shelters in the wilderness, after coming out of Egypt in the Exodus event. And during the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, part of the celebration in the evening involved lighting four very large lamps in the temple court. And during this time, the Levitical or priestly orchestra played music, and people would dance and sing praises to God well into the night. And the people would hold burning torches in their hands, and the light from the temple was so great that it was known to illuminate all of Jerusalem. And the celebration went on night after night during this week-long feast. Sounds fun, huh? What an appropriate time for Jesus to say something like this, that I am the light of the world. But think about what he says. Jesus doesn't say that he is the light during the Feast of Tabernacles, nor does he say he is the light of Jerusalem or the light of Israel. No, he professes to actually be something so much greater, so much more. Jesus says that he is the light of the world. But we know from John 7:37 that when Jesus makes these comments, he does so on the last day of the feast during a large gathering of people. Then again, Jesus speaks and says that he is the light of the world. Saying such a thing would certainly sound somewhat egotistical or even narcissistic to say this to the people. But in doing this, Jesus is not being egotistical or narcissistic. He's revealing who he is. And he is inviting people to himself. What does it mean that Jesus is the light of the world? To help us understand the meaning, let's trace this image of light a little more through the Bible. I want to actually walk you through the entire Bible. Not the entire Bible. Not every single use of the word light, but I did pick some. And we are going to start out. The word light, by the way, it's found 200 times in the Bible. We are not going to look at all 200. But let's give a few examples. Starting out in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, we see that God is the creator of light. Genesis 1 says in verse 3, God says, "Let there be light," and there was. Later, when God's people are being led out of slavery in Egypt through the wilderness in the Exodus event, we hear of how God himself guided them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire, which gives off light, by night. And when we come to the Psalms, which are prayers or songs of praise that are written to music, we also see God's people talk about God being light. Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Like the light of fire leading God's people by night that signified God's presence as the people came out of Egypt in Exodus, here the Lord himself is known as light and salvation. And the prophet Isaiah, mention is made of people seeing a great light. As this God, this Lord, comes as a child, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in deep darkness, on them has light shined. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The fulfillment of this prophecy from Isaiah 9 comes later with the very birth of Jesus Christ. This fulfillment is described at the beginning of the Gospel of John, the same book where we find our text tonight. The Gospel of John begins with these words, and they are referring to Jesus. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And the world became flesh, the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Who is the true light, and who is the Word spoken of here? It is Jesus. Notice verse 14 says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the true light, who gives the light and life, and who comes into the world. So when Jesus says that he is the light of the world in John 8:12, there is a rich history to this term, along with the context during the Feast of Tabernacles, where the temple and all Jerusalem were illuminated right night after night. Light is associated with God himself. He is the creator of it. It emanates from him. It is a symbol of his presence, his glory, his beauty, his majesty, and all that is right and good. The antithesis of light, darkness, tends to be associated in Scripture with the opposite, with things like evil, ignorance, sin, and separation from God and his presence. Most of us can easily understand this image, these metaphors of light and darkness, for they are both common in our world today. We tend to think of light with things that are good and darkness with things that are evil. Even in Star Wars, the bad guys are known as the dark side, right? But fiction aside, just pick up a newspaper or watch the news, and you'll hear all about things of darkness. There's crime, immorality, murder, dishonesty, disasters, just to name a few. But think about this. Isn't there also darkness in each and every one of us? Not just in the world around us, but inside each and every one of us. We might not feel as evil as people we hear about in the news, but we all have evil tendencies. We have sinful tendencies. We don't do the good things that we want to do. We have sins of omission. We don't love enough, give enough, or serve, or sacrifice enough. Furthermore, there are plenty of things that we actually do which are, at least at times, selfish and wrong. These are sins of commission. So we have desires that are wrong, we have attitudes, perspectives that are wrong, and we have things that we say and do that are indeed wrong. We all have darkness in us. The Bible presents God as coming into this dark world, and it presents him as a rescuer and deliverer for us from darkness. God brings his light to people who are living in darkness and who are even blinded by that darkness. This darkness is the sin that each person has, and this sin separates each and every one of us from God, apart from God's light. Darkness is so present that people mix up darkness and light, even confusing it and calling darkness good and light bad. In Isaiah 5:20, God speaking says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness." There's confusion in our world today about even what is good and what is evil. And it's sometimes reversed in the sense that people call things that are evil good and they call things that are good evil. People even start to love the darkness and hate the light because of the influence of sin. And this is the judgment, John 3. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than light because their works were evil. Our works and ways are, at least at times, evil. We have darkness in us. Yet Jesus says that he is the light of the world. He is the light that has come to us. He is God, and he has brought his light because he is the light. Look what else Jesus says here in our text tonight in John 8:12. Jesus says that those who follow him will no longer walk in this darkness, but they will have the light of light, the light of life. What does this mean? Following Jesus sounds very active, like something we do, something involving exertion, effort, intentionality. Well, it's true that this is something we are to do, and it's true that there's effort and intentionality involved. But this does not mean that we work for and perform to receive this light of Jesus into our lives. In other words, we aren't brought into a relationship with Jesus by our own efforts. It's not by doing more good deeds. It's not by giving gifts. It's not even by going to church on Christmas Eve. You see, apart from God shining his light into our hearts first, we can't do much of anything to get out of the darkness. Think about this. If you are walking in a cave that's pitch black, where any step that you could take could be your last, you need a rescuer to bring a flashlight or a lantern or something, torch on a stick, something, to guide you so you can see in that pitch dark cave, to get you out of that cave. You see, in the same way, we cannot rescue ourselves or deliver ourselves from the darkness. Look with me at these words from the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Notice the blindness, the darkness, so much that we can't see the light on our own. You see, we are blind initially, not by God himself, but by the enemy of God, Satan. That's the little g God in verse 4. The little g God is referred to Satan, who sometimes disguises himself as an angel of light. Satan is described here as the god of this world, and by the sin in our own hearts. So we're blinded initially not by God but by the enemy, and we're blinded by the sin in our own hearts. And this results in us living and walking in darkness. But the good news is that God, notice capital G God, actively initiates to us. And he is the one who shines his light into this dark world and into the darkness in our own hearts. How? He does this through Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Jesus Christ did something amazing for us through the good news of the gospel. The good news is that Jesus Christ, the light of the world, came to earth, born as one of us. Then he lived and died on a cross for our sin. And then on the third day, he rose again from the dead. When Jesus did this, he makes a way for us to be brought out of darkness and into God's light. Through his work in the gospel, God starts shining his light into people's hearts. They hear the good news, and by the gift of God's grace, people, not all but some, believe. They see, and they follow Jesus. As a result of those who see the light of the world, they no longer walk in darkness, but they have the light of life. There is a change from spiritual darkness and deadness to light and life. So what does this mean for you and me this Christmas? Please consider with me three implications and benefits of having the light of the world, Jesus, in our lives. Number one, the light of the world, Jesus, helps us to see clearly. Because if we're in darkness, we can't see anything. It's like being in that pitch black dark cave. We need the light. But when the light shines, we can now see God. We can now see ourselves, at least more accurately, and we can see other people more accurately. And as a result of seeing clearly, we receive understanding of God, understanding of ourselves, understanding of other people, even understanding of the world around us. Psalm 119:130 says this, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." A second application, the light of the world, Jesus, gives guidance. It gives us guidance. He gives us guidance on how to live our lives. He gives us guidance on what to do, what not to do. He helps us with our decisions. Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And our third application this evening, the light of the world, Jesus, gives the light of life. This means that if we receive the light of the world, Jesus, who gives the light of life, we are brought out of the spiritual darkness and death from our sin and from the blinding of the little god of this world, Satan. We either receive the light that God gives us, or we continue walking in darkness and death. The whole reason Jesus came into this world is to give us this light of life. And he did so by going to a cross, dying for our sin, and rising from the dead on the third day. So, a few chapters later in the Gospel of John, Jesus says this in John 12, verse 46, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." Jesus gives light and life. Do you see his light? Do you desire it? Will you receive it? This is the greatest gift you can receive, not just at Christmas, but ever. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. May the year ahead be one in which you walk and live in God's light. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing gift of coming into this world as the light of the world to shine in the midst of the darkness in the world around us and in the darkness in our very own hearts. God, we confess that we do not deserve such grace and love and mercy and forgiveness, but you give it to us. And in your light, you also transform our lives. You change us. And you help us to actually be people that shine as lights in this dark world. So may we do that, Lord. May we be that. And we thank you for that incredible gift that we celebrate this evening and tomorrow especially. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to